consumed the Zero Excuse Christian Performance System, a 12-week field manual for total devotion, ruthless discipline, and elite execution under the Lordship of Christ. God is the consuming mission. Every other mission receives its orders, limits, and intensity from Him. A note to the listener. This is not a book for Christians who want to feel inspired for 3 days. It is not a gentle permission slip telling ambitious people that success is acceptable. It is not a baptized version of balance, vague purpose, or comfortable self-care. It is a field manual for Christians who are tired of divided attention, negotiated obedience, unused capacity, hidden compromise, and goals that receive more devotion than God. The achievement world understands something many churches have forgotten. Extraordinary lives are built by people who organize themselves around a dominating purpose. They study it, rehearse it, finance it, sacrifice for it, talk about it, shape their environment around it, and return to it after everybody else loses interest. Their business becomes the first thought in the morning and the last thought at night. Jesus does not answer that intensity by asking for less devotion. He demands more. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek first His kingdom. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Abide. Watch. Pray. Endure. Run to win. Fight the good fight. Present your body as a living sacrifice. That is not soft language. It is total claim. God does not want a ceremonial hour at the edge of an achievement-centered life. He claims the center, the schedule, the imagination, the appetite, the private life, the public work, the body, the money, the ambition, the suffering, and the outcome. Christianity is not one priority among several. It is the chain of command governing all of them. This program begins where excuses end. You will not wait to feel spiritual before you pray. You will not wait for perfect clarity before obeying what is already clear. You will not call distraction a personality, passivity peace, fear discernment, inconsistency grace, or hidden compromise a struggle you are merely working through. You will tell the truth, establish the standard, train the weakness, execute the order, review the result, repent quickly, and return. Grace remains the foundation. But grace is not sedation. You do not train to purchase God's love. You train because you have been claimed by it. Ephesians 2:8-10 refuses both self-salvation and uselessness. Saved by grace, created for good works. Acceptance eliminates the need to prove your worth. It does not eliminate the command to become faithful. This manual also refuses counterfeit intensity. Zero excuses does not mean zero limits, zero sleep, zero counsel, zero Sabbath, or zero humanity. A soldier who ignores logistics, wounds, intelligence, maintenance, and lawful orders is not hardcore. He is undisciplined. In this system, recovery is readiness, Sabbath is obedience, confession is courage, and asking for help is reinforcement. You do not get to use go hard as permission to destroy what God ordered you to protect. You also do not need to invent an audible message from God or manufacture spiritual emotion. Your standing orders are already substantial: scripture, prayer, holiness, truth, love, courage, stewardship, service, endurance, community, and obedience. Begin there. Clarity often meets the person already moving faithfully. The mission of the next 12 weeks is uncompromising. Become so consumed with God that your first attention, deepest loyalty, strongest discipline, and highest ambition belong to Him. Then execute every legitimate assignment under His command with everything you have. This is the life of an elite Christian performer. Fully surrendered, highly trained, difficult to distract, quick to repent, ready to endure, and impossible for success to own. Introduction: The Ambition Crisis. Many Christians do not have an ambition problem. They have an ambition conflict. One part of them wants to build, lead, create, earn, master, compete, influence, and achieve at an extraordinary level. Another part fears that wanting those things too deeply is evidence of pride, greed, selfishness, or weak faith. They hear stories of elite performers who became consumed by one goal, but they also hear Jesus ask what it profits a person to gain the world and lose the soul. So they split. They work but feel guilty for wanting to win. They pray but secretly fear that surrender means becoming passive. They speak about contentment while resenting their unused potential. They collect goals without choosing one because a definite ambition feels spiritually dangerous. Or they swing in the other direction, attach Christian language to ordinary hustle culture, and assume every desire must be a calling because it is intense. Neither path creates wholeness. Four distortions commonly grow from this conflict. Distortion 1. Ashamed ambition. Ashamed ambition treats strong desire as suspicious by definition. The person reduces the dream before testing its motive, method, or purpose. Humility becomes hiding. Contentment becomes refusal to grow. Trusting God becomes avoiding the risk of visible effort. Distortion 2. Passive ambition. Passive ambition wants a meaningful result but waits for total certainty, perfect conditions, or an unmistakable sign before acting. Spiritual language protects the person from responsibility. Years pass while the person remains open but uncommitted. Distortion 3. Fragmented ambition. Fragmented ambition pursues too many good things at once. Every opportunity feels potentially important, so nothing receives enough concentrated effort to become excellent. The person experiences constant motion and little completion. Distortion 4. Idolized ambition. Idolized ambition turns achievement into a functional savior. The goal promises identity, security, vindication, freedom from shame, or proof of worth. Methods and relationships become negotiable because failure feels emotionally unbearable. This book offers a fifth path, consecrated obsession. Consecrated obsession brings the full force of desire, discipline, preparation, focus, courage, and endurance under the lordship of Christ. It refuses to shrink the assignment merely to feel safe. It also refuses to enlarge the assignment until it occupies the throne. God becomes the consuming mission. Every other mission receives its authority, limits, meaning, and intensity from Him. This is not another book arguing that Christians are allowed to want success. Permission is too small a subject. The question is whether a Christian can become more disciplined than the people who worship achievement because the Christian serves someone greater than achievement. The answer is yes. The world can produce obsessive entrepreneurs, athletes, artists, and operators. The church should be able to produce people whose attention to God, resistance to sin, command of appetite, love of truth, mastery of craft, courage under pressure, and endurance in service make casual religion look impossible. Most self-help systems teach some version of one command: push. Decide what you want, concentrate thought, eliminate distraction, take massive action, and persist until reality changes. Some Christian responses emphasize the opposite command: release. Surrender the outcome, deny yourself, wait, rest, trust, and accept that control belongs to God. When detached from action, those words can become camouflage for fear. Both contain truth. The distinctive work of this program is training both capacities at the same time. You will learn to push without worshiping the result and release without abandoning responsibility. You will pursue measurable improvement while refusing to make the measurement your identity. You will define a mission clearly enough to organize a season and hold it openly enough to change or release it. You will prepare beyond the ordinary standard and stop when continuing would violate the sacred order. You will practice ambition with a clenched focus, a submitted will, and an open hand. This is the Christian ambition paradox. The program will repeatedly ask four questions that rarely remain together in conventional achievement systems. What extraordinary result or capability am I responsible to pursue? Who am I becoming through the way I pursue it? What costs and methods are forbidden, even if they would increase my odds? Can I release the result without losing my identity, faith, or willingness to serve? The first question protects you from passivity. The second protects character. The third establishes sacred constraints. The fourth tests whether the ambition is still a servant. The goal is not moderate desire. The goal is governed ferocity. Devotion strong enough to reorder a life. Discipline strong enough to produce unusual work. And surrender strong enough to obey when the order costs you the outcome. How to use this program. This manuscript is both a book and a training system. Do not consume it like entertainment. A field manual is useless to the person who highlights commands but never executes them. The early chapters establish doctrine. The middle chapters build the operating system. The final section walks you through 12 weeks of implementation. Read or listen with a notebook. Complete every audit. Write every order. Put the required actions on a calendar. During the 12-week program, repeat the daily battle rhythm and conduct the weekly after-action review, whether your emotions cooperate or not. Feelings may report for duty, but they do not assume command. The standard is not perfection. The standard is immediate return. When you miss, you do not disappear into shame, rewrite the mission, wait for Monday, or create a dramatic restart. You confess, correct, and complete the smallest next act of obedience within 24 hours, whenever reasonably possible. The word elite in this program does not mean more valuable than other people. It means unusually faithful, prepared, disciplined, capable, courageous, and useful. It describes the quality of your stewardship, not your rank in God's family. Throughout the book, you will receive four kinds of instructions. A pause point asks you to stop and reflect. A practice gives you an action to repeat. A standard gives you a boundary that success is not allowed to violate. An order names the concrete action that must leave the page and enter your life. If you are listening rather than reading, pause the audio when an exercise needs honest thought. The silence is part of the program. One practice runs through every chapter and every week. Push and release. Your push is the most courageous, high-leverage act of faithful effort available today. It may be training, publishing, asking, practicing, deciding, selling, leading, correcting, or finishing. Your release is the act that proves the ambition does not own you. It may be stopping on time, telling an expensive truth, accepting feedback, protecting a covenant, giving generously, celebrating someone else's win, taking Sabbath, or placing an uncontrollable outcome back into God's hands. A mature performer does not choose between these actions. The mature performer trains both. The daily minimum standard. For all 12 weeks, six actions form the minimum battle rhythm. Report. Begin the day before God before surrendering attention to messages, media, or metrics. Receive orders, read scripture, pray honestly, and write the truth that will govern the day. Train. Strengthen the body, mind, character, or craft according to the current plan. Execute. Complete the day's highest value act of faithful work before feeding distraction. Serve. Perform one deliberate act of love, presence, courage, or contribution. Debrief. Conduct an evening after-action review, confess failure, record the lesson, and set tomorrow's first move. These are not six suggestions for ideal days. They are the standard. On disrupted days, reduce their duration, but preserve their identity. A 5-minute prayer is not the target, but it is better than desertion. 15 focused minutes are not an elite training block, but they can preserve the chain of obedience when life is under pressure. The zero excuse rule. You may have a reason to reduce the load. You do not have permission to lie about the reason, abandon the mission silently, or rename avoidance as wisdom. If you are exhausted, adjust and recover deliberately. If you are injured, receive care and train what remains available. If you are confused, obey what is clear and seek counsel about what is not. If you fail, use the return protocol. If the assignment is wrong, end it honestly through review rather than escaping it emotionally. Zero excuses means reality is faced, orders are clarified, and the next faithful action is taken. Part 1. The Foundation of Holy Ambition. Chapter 1. The Contradiction is Real. Achievement books often tell the truth about one side of reality. Extraordinary outcomes usually require extraordinary concentration. Mastery does not arrive through scattered interest. Businesses are not built by wishing. Bodies are not transformed by occasional effort. Great work is usually the accumulated result of thousands of repetitions that nobody celebrates. That is why words such as obsession, burning desire, definite purpose, sacrifice, and singular focus appear so often in stories of elite performance. They describe the psychological force required to stay with one mission when novelty disappears and resistance increases. Christianity does not deny the value of that force. Scripture honors diligence, skill, endurance, preparation, courage, self-control, wise planning, and wholehearted work. Proverbs 22:29 celebrates skilled work. Colossians 3:23 calls believers to work heartily. Paul compares discipleship to athletic training in 1 Corinthians 9. Jesus repeatedly teaches stewardship and accountability. But Christianity places a limit around ambition. The created thing cannot take the Creator's place. This is where the contradiction becomes real. Secular achievement culture can eventually say, "Do whatever it takes." Jesus never grants that permission. A Christian can give everything that is rightfully available to the assignment, but cannot sacrifice obedience, truth, character, covenant responsibilities, or the soul to obtain the result. That difference may cost a Christian some earthly advantage. A competitor may lie, manipulate, neglect a family, abuse a body, break promises, or work without rest. Those decisions may create short-term speed. Christianity does not promise that obedience will always maximize subscribers, money, promotion, market share, or applause. The gospel offers something better than a guaranteed earthly win. It gives you freedom from needing the win to prove that you matter. When success becomes identity, every setback becomes a verdict. When success becomes stewardship, a setback becomes information. You can grieve it, learn from it, adjust, and continue without allowing it to name you. This creates a different kind of intensity, fierce, governed, and free. You can work harder than almost everyone around you and still tell the truth. You can want the opportunity deeply and still refuse to betray your values to obtain it. You can build something enormous and still stop when stopping is the faithful act. You can lose and remain whole. You can win and remain humble. The conflict is not between Christianity and excellence. The conflict is between two lords. One of them must be denied the throne. The combat principle. There is no neutral attention. Whatever repeatedly captures your imagination, dictates your schedule, absorbs your sacrifice, defines your fear, and controls your emotional state is already functioning like a god. Do not merely ask what you believe. Inspect what you obey. Your calendar is evidence. Your browser history is evidence. Your spending is evidence. Your private fantasies are evidence. Your recurring compromises are evidence. Your first thought in the morning and your reflex under pressure are evidence. The first battle is not against your competition. It is against divided allegiance. Pause point. Name the fear. Complete these statements honestly. If I put God first, I am afraid I will never. I believe elite performers get ahead because they are willing to. The achievement I most want to prove about myself is. If that achievement never happened, I fear it would mean. Do not correct your answers yet. First tell the truth. Standard. I will not use God as an excuse for playing small, and I will not use ambition as an excuse for disobedience. Chapter 2. What it means to be consumed by God. Being consumed by God is more radical than adding spiritual habits to an already crowded life. It means God becomes the organizing center through which the rest of life is interpreted. The question changes from, how can I fit God into the life I am building, to, what kind of life should I build if all of it belongs to God? Consider what happens when someone becomes consumed with becoming wealthy. The goal shapes what that person reads, notices, studies, measures, purchases, discusses, and sacrifices. Opportunities are evaluated by whether they move the mission forward. Distractions become easier to identify because the center is clear. Jesus uses similarly comprehensive language about devotion. In Mark 12:30, he commands love for God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Matthew 6:33, he teaches his followers to seek God's kingdom first. In Luke 9:23, discipleship includes daily self-denial and cross-bearing. This is total life orientation, not casual religious interest. A consumed Christian does not visit devotion and then return to a life governed by appetite. Devotion becomes the operating environment. Obsession, redeemed. In this book, obsession does not mean psychological compulsion, reckless fixation, or the inability to receive correction. It means sustained, total life preoccupation with the worth, will, presence, commands, and kingdom of God. The business-obsessed person studies markets. The God-consumed person studies scripture. The business-obsessed person watches competitors. The God-consumed person watches motives, temptations, opportunities to serve, and signs of compromise. The business-obsessed person reviews numbers. The God-consumed person reviews time, obedience, love, courage, integrity, and stewardship. The business-obsessed person builds a network. The God-consumed person builds covenant community, seeks wise leaders, accepts correction, and strengthens others. The business-obsessed person sacrifices comfort. The God-consumed person sacrifices comfort, ego, secrecy, appetite, applause, and every advantage that requires disobedience. The business-obsessed person wakes with a mission. The God-consumed person wakes under command. That is the level of devotion this manual is training. Yet being consumed by God does not require spending every waking hour in a church building. It means every legitimate part of life is brought under His authority. You train your body because it is entrusted to you. You pursue skill because undeveloped gifts do not serve people well. You work with excellence because character does not turn off when you are on someone else's payroll. You build wealth as a steward, not as a worshiper. You father your children intentionally because they are not distractions from your mission. You honor your marriage because covenant is part of your faithfulness. You create because beauty, truth, teaching, and innovation can serve others. You rest because God is Lord of your stopping as well as your striving. The center does not compete with the spokes. The center holds the wheel together. This matters if your Christian experience has not always included strong feelings. Consumed devotion is not measured by emotional intensity alone. Love can be expressed through attention, obedience, return, sacrifice, study, service, patience, and truthfulness. Some days prayer feels alive. Other days it feels like discipline. A mature faith does not pretend that these days are identical, but it continues to turn toward God in both. You also do not need to manufacture mystical certainty about every decision. Scripture gives moral boundaries. Wisdom helps compare options. Trusted people expose blind spots. Responsibilities reveal what is already yours to carry. Gifts and opportunities provide clues. Circumstances can open and close paths. Discernment is often a faithful judgment made with incomplete information, not a secret code delivered without ambiguity. The aim is not to become a person who says, "God told me," about every preference. The aim is to become a person whose desires, habits, decisions, and ambitions are increasingly available to God, and whose obedience does not require constant emotional confirmation. Standing orders. When specific direction feels unclear, execute the orders already given. Seek God first. Tell the truth completely. Kill the sin you have been tolerating. Keep the promise already made. Do the difficult work already assigned. Love the person directly in front of you. Train the weakness limiting your usefulness. Refuse distraction that has no authority over the mission. Receive correction without image management. End the day reconciled, debriefed, and ready to return. You can spend years asking for a new calling while ignoring these standing orders. That is not discernment. It is delay. Order, the daily enlistment. Each morning, pray in your own words. God, I report to you. My mind, body, time, work, money, relationships, influence, appetites, opportunities, disappointments, and plans are under your command. Expose divided loyalty. Give me courage to obey what is clear, discipline to train what is weak, and endurance to finish what you have entrusted to me. I will not ask comfort to approve the order. I belong to you. The power is not in reciting perfect words. The power is in repeatedly placing the whole life on the altar. Chapter 3. Redefining Elite Readiness. If elite means famous, rich, dominant, admired, or undefeated, the category is too shallow for a Christian. Those outcomes can exist without wisdom or character. They can also disappear through forces outside your control. An elite Christian performer is someone who develops uncommon readiness for faithful service. Readiness means that when truth is expensive, pressure is high, feelings are absent, and the assignment is difficult, the person can still obey and execute. That definition has six dimensions. 1. Alignment. Alignment means the life is increasingly ordered under Christ. The person is not perfect, but is correctable. Private behavior and public identity move toward agreement. Decisions are tested against scripture, wisdom, conscience, and responsibility. 2. Character. Character is who remains when pressure removes convenience. Integrity, humility, courage, patience, truthfulness, sexual faithfulness, and self-control matter more than image. Talent can create access that character is not strong enough to sustain. 3. Capacity. Capacity includes physical energy, emotional regulation, focus, knowledge, systems, relationships, and the ability to carry weight without becoming destructive. Capacity can be trained. It can also be exceeded. Elite performance requires knowing the difference. 4. Craft. Craft is the disciplined development of what you do. Prayer cannot replace practice. Sincerity cannot substitute for competence. If your work affects other people, skill is a form of love because it reduces the cost of your inexperience to those you serve. 5. Contribution. Christian performance moves outward. It creates value, solves problems, serves people, strengthens households, develops others, tells truth, produces beauty, or builds institutions that outlast personal applause. The question is not only, how far did I rise, but who became stronger because I was faithful? 6. Consistency. Intensity can produce a dramatic week. Consistency produces a transformed life. The elite performer learns how to return after failure, boredom, travel, conflict, sickness, emotional fatigue, and disrupted plans. The ability to begin again is more valuable than an unbroken streak. These six dimensions create a whole person scoreboard. They prevent you from calling a public win in elite performance when the private cost was corruption. The new definition. Elite Christian performance is the disciplined development and courageous deployment of everything God has entrusted to you for faithful service without allowing the result to become your identity or your Lord. You may become wealthy. You may build a large platform. You may master a craft. You may lead at a rare level. None of that is disqualified. The question is whether the achievement is carried by a person whose soul, character, relationships, and obedience can bear its weight. Pause point, your current profile. Rate yourself from 1 to 10 in each area: alignment, character, capacity, craft, contribution, and consistency. Then answer, which score is currently limiting all the others? Which score looks strong publicly but weak privately? Which area, if trained for 12 weeks, would make you more useful to God and people? Chapter 4. Grace is not an alibi. High-performance systems often begin with dissatisfaction. They remind you that you are behind, underperforming, undisciplined, or wasting potential. Shame creates a burst of energy, but it is unstable fuel. Eventually, the performer must keep increasing the accusation to keep moving. The gospel begins somewhere else, but it does not end in passivity. Your worth is not the prize waiting at the end of perfect execution. In Christ, acceptance is not purchased with output. Grace does not make effort unnecessary. It makes effort free from the impossible job of saving you. This distinction is essential. Otherwise, a Christian performance program becomes religious hustle culture. Bible reading becomes a streak that proves you are serious. Prayer becomes a productivity technique. Service becomes reputation management. Discipline becomes a weapon used against yourself and others. Grace says you can confront reality without self-hatred. It also removes your favorite hiding place. You cannot use condemnation as a reason to remain down when Christ commands you to rise. You cannot use imperfection as a reason to refuse training. You cannot turn forgiveness into permission to repeat what you refuse to confront. You can admit that you wasted a week without deciding that you are worthless. You can repent of compromise without pretending that condemnation is the same as conviction. You can receive correction without defending a false image. You can rest without believing the universe will collapse because you stopped producing. Grace also removes the excuse of helplessness. Because failure does not have final authority, you can take full responsibility for the next faithful move. You do not need to hide, blame, dramatize, or wait for motivation. The elite Christian performer therefore holds two truths together. I am not accepted because I perform. Because I am accepted, I can train with unusual honesty and courage. This is the emotional engine of the program. Grace makes radical honesty survivable and radical responsibility possible. The no alibi standard. An excuse denies or disguises responsibility. An explanation tells the truth so the mission can be adjusted intelligently. I did not complete the work because I was overwhelmed is incomplete. What created the overload? What should have been refused, delegated, scheduled, simplified, confessed, or supported? What is the recovery order? I sinned because I was stressed is not a confession. Stress exposed the training gap. It did not become Lord of the will. I fell off is not an after-action review. Name the decision, trigger, environment, cost, and next correction. The zero-excuse Christian is not a person who denies weakness. It is a person who exposes weakness to truth, grace, training, community, and action before weakness assumes command. Practice. Separate identity from evaluation. At the end of a work session, project, conversation, or week, use these sentences. My identity is secure in Christ. This result does not name me. The honest result was, my choices contributed by, factors outside my control included, the lesson I will carry forward is, the next faithful action is. This is neither self-excusing nor self-condemning. It is truthful stewardship. Chapter 5. Chain of Command, Not Balance. Balance suggests that every important area should receive equal time. Real life does not work that way. A newborn, launch, illness, tournament, deadline, crisis, or rare opportunity can legitimately change the distribution of energy. The Christian alternative is chain of command. Order begins with ultimate allegiance to God. Beneath that allegiance are entrusted responsibilities and seasonal assignments. These are not all equal, but they are all accountable to the center. Your marriage is not merely an interruption to your business. Your children are not friction between you and creative work. Your employer is not irrelevant until your own platform grows. Your body is not disposable equipment. Sabbath is not laziness. Money is not a measure of human worth. Creative ambition is not automatically selfish. Each belongs in the order. An ordered life allows seasonal intensity. You may give a launch, training block, or opportunity window disproportionate attention for a defined period. You may also be assigned a season of healing, grief, Sabbath, rebuilding, caregiving, study, or hidden preparation. The assignment determines the form of intensity. The ego does not. If the order is advance, advance without laziness. If the order is hold, hold without restlessness. If the order is withdraw, withdraw without shame. If the order is recover, recover without secretly converting rest into another productivity contest. Hustle culture recognizes only forward motion. Christian obedience recognizes commanded movement and commanded stillness. Both require discipline. This creates four levels of commitment. Level 1, lordship. These are moral and spiritual boundaries you do not negotiate for success. Truth, fidelity, integrity, worship, repentance, and obedience to what Scripture clearly requires. Level 2, covenant responsibilities. These are people and duties already entrusted to you, spouse, children, household, health, work agreements, debts, and promises. They may be scheduled flexibly, but they cannot be treated as optional indefinitely. Level 3, seasonal assignment. This is the primary mission receiving a disproportionate share of discretionary energy for a defined period. It might be building a business, mastering a craft, completing a degree, restoring health, leading a team, grieving a loss, repairing a home, caring for a person, deepening prayer, or recovering from prolonged overload. A recovery mission is still a mission when it has a reason, a rule, faithful practices, and a review point. Level 4, optional opportunities. These are good possibilities that are not yours to pursue now. Without this category, every interesting invitation becomes a threat to the mission. Order tells you what may flex and what may not. Exercise. Build your order. Write one answer under each level. Lordship. What will I refuse to violate even if obedience costs me? Covenant. Who and what has already been entrusted to my care? Assignment. What one mission deserves most of my discretionary energy in this season? Optional. What good opportunities must I decline or defer? Standard. I will obey the assignment of the season. I will not call laziness rest, compulsion dedication, or destruction devotion. Part 2. The Operating System. Chapter 6. The Push and Release System. Most performance systems become dangerous at one of two extremes. At the first extreme, the performer knows how to push, but not how to release. Effort grows, but identity fuses with the outcome. The person can begin work, but cannot stop. Can accept praise, but not correction. Can sacrifice comfort, but eventually sacrifices truth, health, or people. External capacity increases, while internal freedom decreases. At the second extreme, the performer knows the language of release, but does not push. Surrender becomes vagueness. Trust becomes inaction. Contentment becomes undeveloped capacity. The person releases outcomes that were never seriously pursued and calls the absence of risk peace. The Christian ambition paradox requires both muscles. Push proves you will not use surrender as an alibi. Release proves you will not use intensity as an idol. The push practice. Every working day, define one act that requires meaningful faith, effort, or courage. It should advance the seasonal assignment rather than merely maintain motion. A real push has four qualities. It is important enough to affect the mission. It is concrete enough to complete or attempt today. It carries some resistance, uncertainty, or skill demand. It can be pursued through methods consistent with your convictions. Examples include finishing the difficult draft, making the honest offer, practicing the weakest section, requesting the consequential meeting, publishing the tested version, correcting an error, or making the decision everyone has delayed. The release practice. Every day, also define one act that loosens ambition's claim on your identity or control. A real release may involve releasing the need to control another person's reaction, ending work at the boundary you established, telling the truth when image management would feel safer, accepting that today's faithful work may not produce today's visible reward, celebrating another person's success without making it a verdict on yours, abandoning a method that violates love, integrity, or wisdom, resting before the entire list is complete. Release is not pretending you do not care. It is caring deeply without demanding that the result become your source of identity, security, or peace. Sometimes release is the harder order. A person addicted to motion may need more courage to stop than to work another 6 hours. The rest order. Rest is not the absence of mission. It is a mission mode. Receive the order. Admit that current capacity, scripture, wise counsel, covenant need, or accumulated fatigue requires recovery. Establish the objective. Define what restoration means. Sleep stabilization, medical care, grief work, spiritual renewal, relational repair, nervous system regulation, or reduced output. Set the rules of engagement. Name what will stop, what will continue at maintenance level, and what restorative practices will be protected. Train restraint. Refuse the ego's demand to prove worth through visible motion. Test readiness. Review fruit, capacity, peace, counsel, and responsibility before increasing load. A season of rest is not indefinite disappearance. It is deliberate obedience with a purpose and review point. You honor it with the same seriousness you would honor a launch. The sacred cost ceiling. Traditional achievement advice asks, what are you willing to sacrifice? The elite Christian performer adds a second question. What am I forbidden to sacrifice? Before every demanding season, establish a sacred cost ceiling. Name the costs the mission is not authorized to impose. Your ceiling should address integrity, lies, concealment, exploitation, or misleading claims. Covenant, chronic neglect of spouse, children, or promises. Body, predictable destruction of sleep, sobriety, safety, or necessary care. Faith, abandonment of worship, repentance, community, or obedience. Humanity, treating collaborators, employees, customers, or competitors as objects. Stopping, refusal to honor Sabbath, recovery, or the defined end of a push season. Sacred constraints may reduce speed. they also prevent a successful project from producing a failed life. The two scoreboards. Every mission needs two scoreboards. The outcome scoreboard measures results, revenue, audience growth, promotion, ranking, weight, completion, skill level, customers, impact, or another external target. Outcomes matter because stewardship should create real value. Refusing to measure them can protect mediocrity from evidence. The faithfulness scoreboard measures controllable practice in character, preparation, courageous action, truthfulness, discipline repetitions, service, covenant presence, recovery, generosity, and the ability to release the result. Never collapse the two. A strong faithfulness scoreboard with a weak outcome means you may need better skill, strategy, timing, or fit. It does not automatically mean you should work harder. A strong outcome scoreboard with a weak faithfulness score may be a dangerous win. The result does not cleanse the method. A weak score on both means you need truth, support, and a smaller next obedience rather than a more dramatic identity speech. Strength on both scoreboards is the aim. Excellent stewardship producing meaningful fruit, held with humility because outcomes are never completely controlled. The daily card. At the beginning of the day, write, today's push, today's release, the boundary I will honor, the person this work is meant to serve. At the end of the day, ask, did I complete the push? Did I practice the release? Did I honor the boundary? What did the result teach me? This four-line card is the smallest complete version of the program. Order, the chain of command framework. The practical framework for elite Christian performance is called order. Order is not a trick for making God bless your plan. It is a chain of command check that brings your plan, habits, ambition, and current capacity under honest examination. O, orient to the King. Before deciding what to conquer, remember who you belong to. Orientation includes scripture, prayer, worship, gratitude, confession, and surrender. It protects you from beginning each day as if your anxious thoughts, notifications, or goals are sovereign. Orientation asks, what is true? Who am I becoming? What does love require? What must I surrender? R, rank entrusted responsibilities. Name what is already yours to carry. Rank does not mean people have different worth. It means commitments have different claims on your time. A stranger's request does not automatically outrank your child's need. A low-value content idea does not automatically outrank sleep. A temporary metric does not outrank integrity. Ranking asks, what must remain protected in this season? What may flex? What can be delegated, delayed, or deleted? D, define the seasonal assignment. Choose one primary mission for the next 12 weeks. You can maintain several domains, but you cannot aggressively expand all of them at once. The assignment should be specific enough to guide a calendar and meaningful enough to justify sacrifice. Do not assume the assignment must involve expansion. God may require consolidation, healing, training, repair, waiting, or rest before visible advance. Defining asks, what is the one result or capability I am building? Why does it matter? Who will it serve? What does done look like? E, execute with excellence. Turn the assignment into scheduled repetitions. Study, practice, publish, prepare, request feedback, improve the system. Do the difficult work before the urgent noise. Excellence is not perfection. It is a pattern of care, skill, and follow-through. Execution asks, what is today's highest leverage repetition? When will it happen? What friction can I remove before it begins? R, review, repent, recover, and repeat. No system survives contact with real life without revision. Review results and motives. Repent where you compromised. Repair what you damaged. Recover physically and emotionally. Repeat what worked. Eliminate what did not. Review asks, what happened? What did it reveal? What needs forgiveness, repair, celebration, adjustment, or another repetition? The order cycle can operate daily, weekly, quarterly, and annually. The daily order questions. Orientation. What truth will govern me today? Responsibilities. What people and commitments require protected attention? Definition. What is the one essential move for my seasonal assignment? Execution. When and where will I do it? Review. When will I stop and tell the truth about the day? The weekly order questions. Where did I notice growth, grace, resistance, or compromise? Did my calendar reflect my stated order? What moved the primary assignment forward? What consumed energy without producing meaningful value? What must be repaired before the next week begins? Order makes intensity governable. Without it, passion becomes a wildfire. With it, ambition becomes concentrated heat. Chapter 7. Establish the battle rhythm. A goal tells you what you want. A battle rhythm determines how you will repeatedly report, receive orders, train, execute, serve, recover, and review while pursuing it. This is not legalism. A battle rhythm does not earn love. It makes stated allegiance visible in time. It is a set of rhythms and boundaries designed to keep the whole person available to God. An elite Christian rule of life has 5 anchors. Anchor 1. Communion. Create a repeatable rhythm for scripture, prayer, worship, silence, and gathered Christian community. Do not build the rhythm around ideal emotions. Build it around reliable access. A simple morning practice can include 2 minutes of stillness, 10 minutes of scripture, 5 minutes of honest prayer, and a written sentence naming the day's faithful action. Depth can grow over time. Anchor 2. Body. Protect sleep, movement, nutrition, medical care, and recovery. Your body is not an enemy to overpower or a machine with no limits. Physical stewardship supports attention, emotional stability, service, and endurance. Discipline does not mean ignoring anxiety, trauma, exhaustion, pain, or warning signs. Sometimes the elite decision is training harder. Sometimes it is receiving care, adjusting load, or sleeping. Anchor 3. Covenant presence. Schedule undistracted presence with the people closest to you. Presence is not merely being in the same room while your attention remains inside the mission. It includes listening, affection, practical service, repair, play, and shared decisions. Anchor 4. Assignment. Reserve protected blocks for the primary mission. These blocks are appointments, not wishes. During them, one meaningful type of work is allowed. Notifications, gear browsing, low-value research, and unrelated opportunities are excluded. Anchor 5. Commanded recovery and review. Set a weekly period for stopping, worship, delight, gratitude, and recovery. Pair it with a separate weekly review if detailed measurement disrupts rest. Sabbath declares that God remains God while you are not producing. Treat the stopping time as an order, not a reward you receive only after completing an impossible list. Minimum battle rhythm. Life will disrupt the ideal schedule. The minimum viable day prevents disruption from becoming abandonment. On a difficult day, complete 5 minutes of scripture, 1 honest prayer, 10 minutes of movement if physically appropriate, 15 minutes of the smallest meaningful mission repetition, 1 deliberate act of presence or service towards someone entrusted to you, a 2-minute evening review. This is not the target for ordinary days. It is the bridge that keeps disruption from becoming desertion. Standard mission day. On a standard day, complete a 20 to 30 minute orientation practice. Plan training or movement. 1 45 to 90 minute deep work block on the seasonal assignment. faithful execution of work and household responsibilities, protected relational presence, a 10-minute evening examine. Advance day. During a genuine opportunity window, you may add one or more deep work blocks and temporarily reduce optional activities. An advance day never grants permission to lie, violate covenant, recklessly destroy sleep, or make everyone around you absorb the hidden cost of your ambition. The rule exists so you can be intense without becoming chaotic. Recovery day. When recovery is the order, protect sleep, worship, nourishing food, appropriate movement, treatment, honest conversation, quiet, and low stimulation presence. Remove unnecessary production. Do not smuggle work back into the day because stillness makes you feel insignificant. The discipline of an advance day is doing what matters despite resistance. The discipline of a recovery day is refusing what is premature despite anxiety. Chapter 8. Accept the mission of the season. One of the most common reasons ambitious people feel powerless is not lack of desire. It is desire divided among too many expansion goals. You may care about faith, health, marriage, children, career, content, business, money, music, community, and rest. All can matter. But if you attempt to transform every domain aggressively in the same 12 weeks, the result is usually fragmented effort and recurring disappointment. Do not automatically choose the assignment that produces the most visible status. Ask what obedience requires now. The most faithful mission may be to expand. It may also be to heal, simplify, repay, reconcile, study, wait, or rebuild the capacity previous ambition consumed. Maintenance and expansion are different modes. Maintenance keeps a domain healthy enough to honor its place. Expansion deliberately pushes a domain to a new level. In a given season, most areas should receive faithful maintenance, while one primary assignment receives expansion energy. For example, you may maintain fitness through established workouts, maintain family through protected presence, and maintain your professional role through excellent execution while expanding a defined creative or business project. In another season, health restoration may become the expansion assignment while the project is maintained. Use 7 tests to choose the assignment. The 7 tests. Biblical alignment. Can this be pursued without violating clear Christian convictions? Responsibility. Does it honor what is already entrusted to you? Service. Who benefits if you become excellent at this? Gift fit. Does it use or develop capacities that are genuinely present? Window. Is there a time-sensitive reason this season matters? Leverage. Will progress make other valuable actions easier or more effective? Sustainability. Can the pursuit be carried for 12 weeks without predictable destruction? An assignment does not need a perfect score in every test, but a major contradiction must be addressed. Write the mission sentence. Use this structure. For the next 12 weeks, I will build or complete by consistently doing so that while protecting. Example. For the next 12 weeks, I will build a reliable content engine by publishing 1 substantial piece and 3 supporting short pieces each week so that my craft, audience, and economic ownership grow while protecting Sabbath, family presence, health, and professional integrity. The numbers are examples, not prescriptions. The important feature is clarity, the not now list. Write every attractive goal that does not belong in this 12-week expansion season. Preserve the idea without allowing it to occupy the calendar. Review the list at the end of the cycle. Focus is not saying that other goals do not matter. It is refusing to lie about how much expansion one life can carry at once. Chapter 9. Train and execute like an operator. Once the assignment is clear, the work becomes less dramatic and more demanding. Elite performance is built through high-quality repetitions. Motivation can begin a session. Discipline begins it when motivation is absent. You do not negotiate with the feeling every time the calendar gives an order. Prayer does not replace preparation. Sincerity does not replace skill. Calling does not replace competence. If people will carry the consequences of your work, then your lack of preparation is not humility. Train until the essential actions survive pressure. Define the repetition. Every mission has a unit of practice. For a writer, it may be focused words drafted and revised. For a musician, it may be deliberate work on timing, sound design, arrangement, or performance transitions. For a creator, it may be completed scripts, published videos, tested hooks, and post-publication reviews. For an entrepreneur, it may be customer conversations, offers made, systems built, and problems solved. Do not confuse supporting activity with the repetition. Watching tutorials can support music practice, but it is not the same as playing. Buying equipment can support production, but it is not the same as finishing. Planning content can support publishing, but it is not publishing. Use the deliberate practice loop. Choose a narrow skill. Attempt it at the edge of current ability. Receive fast, specific feedback. Correct one variable. Repeat while attention remains high. Record the lesson. Hours matter, but corrected hours matter more. Prepare before pressure. Over-preparation is not fear when it is proportionate to the responsibility. It is care. Prepare the material, test the equipment, research the person, rehearse the transition, confirm the facts, and imagine likely failure points. Then stop preparing and perform. Perfectionism keeps preparation open because publishing risks judgment. Excellence defines a standard, prepares to meet it, ships, and learns from reality. Close the loop. Every meaningful performance should produce a short after-action review. What was supposed to happen? What actually happened? What worked? What failed? What will I change next time? Without review, experience can repeat without becoming expertise. The finish standard. Completion before optimization. Truth before image. Repetition before novelty. Service before applause. The Zero Excuse Execution Protocol. When a scheduled mission block begins, report on time, state the objective, remove every unauthorized distraction, execute the first physical action within 60 seconds. Stay with the assigned repetition until the block ends or the objective is complete. Record the result without exaggeration. Prepare the first move for the next session. Do not hold a meeting with your feelings before beginning. Let action reveal what emotion was wrong about. Chapter 10, Harden Attention and Environment. The modern performer often tries to solve an environmental problem with willpower. The phone is within reach. Notifications remain active. Every tool is open. The room cues entertainment. The calendar contains no protected work. Then the person concludes that discipline is missing. Willpower matters, but environment determines how often willpower must rescue you. Stop repeatedly entering the same ambush and calling the defeat mysterious. Design three layers. Physical environment. Prepare the workspace before the session. Leave the instrument, document, camera, training clothes, or project in a ready state. Remove visual clutter connected to other goals. Give frequently used tools a permanent home. Reduce setup time until beginning is almost automatic. Digital environment. Disable non-essential notifications. Use separate browser profiles or workspaces. Block high-friction distractions during deep work. Keep a capture list for unrelated ideas so they do not demand immediate action. Decide when communication will be checked. Social environment. Walk with people whose standards make discipline faithfulness normal. You need at least three kinds of relationships. A truthful peer who is also doing difficult work. A mentor or model whose character and competence are both worthy of study. People you serve so ambition remains connected to real human value. Do not choose a room merely because its members are successful. Ask what the room normalizes. Some environments raise standards while lowering character. The right room makes excellence, truth, generosity, and correction more normal at the same time. Practice. Friction audit. For 1 week, write down every point of friction that delays a key habit. At the weekly review, remove the 3 most common forms of friction. Do not ask only, how can I become stronger? Also ask, how can the desired action become easier to begin? Chapter 11. Build readiness without burning out. Ambition is carried in a body. Sleep loss, chronic stress, poor conditioning, unmanaged pain, trauma activation, and emotional exhaustion affect judgment and consistency. Ignoring that reality is not spiritual strength. Paul uses athletic discipline as a metaphor because training involves both exertion and recovery. The body adapts when stress is followed by restoration. Constant overload eventually reduces performance. Burnout is not proof that you cared more. It may be evidence that you ignored the operating limits, support needs, or stopping orders built into faithful stewardship. An elite Christian performer learns 3 zones. Green zone, build. Energy is stable. Sleep is adequate. Focus returns after normal breaks. Training creates healthy fatigue. Relationships are not absorbing repeated emotional spillover. In this zone, challenge can increase gradually. Yellow zone, adjust. Irritability, avoidance, disrupted sleep, elevated anxiety, persistent soreness, compulsive scrolling, and declining work quality appear. In this zone, reduce optional load, simplify the plan, improve recovery, and seek wise support before the pattern becomes a crisis. Red zone, receive care. Panic, hopelessness, inability to function, dangerous behavior, severe sleep disruption, escalating substance use, or thoughts of self-harm are not problems to solve with a harsher productivity system. Reach out to qualified professional and trusted personal support. Courage includes receiving care. Your body practice should include movement, strength, cardiovascular health, nutrition, sleep, and appropriate medical care. The exact prescription belongs to your medical context. The spiritual principle is stewardship rather than punishment. A daily body practice can become a declaration. I train so I can carry my assignment with more energy, courage, and endurance. The purpose is larger than appearance, though visible transformation may come. Standard. I will not call self-neglect sacrifice when it predictably makes me less loving, truthful, stable, or useful. Readiness doctrine. The objective is not to extract the maximum output from yourself today. The objective is to remain ready for sustained obedience across years. Sometimes readiness requires overload followed by recovery. Sometimes it requires sleep before another repetition. Sometimes it requires professional treatment, medication, counsel, a reduced mission, or a complete season of restoration. None of these decisions are soft when they are truthful responses to reality. The hard decision is the obedient one. If your ego wants motion but wisdom orders rest, then rest becomes the test of discipline. Chapter 12. Make family part of the mission. Ambitious people often say they are sacrificing for their families while building a life their families barely experience with them. Provision matters. Legacy matters. Financial freedom can create real good, but presence, affection, leadership, listening, play, protection, correction, and repair cannot all be postponed until the mission succeeds. Your spouse and children are not the audience waiting to applaud the finished version of you. They are people to love during the construction. This does not mean every hour belongs to family or that no demanding season is allowed. It means the people closest to you should understand the season, know the boundaries, experience protected presence, and have permission to tell you when the hidden cost is becoming too high. the presence covenant. Choose repeatable commitments such as devices away during a protected family block, a weekly conversation with your spouse about schedule, pressure, needs, and connection, individual time with each child, fast repair after harshness, absence, or broken promises, a clear endpoint for temporary push seasons. Do not measure relational faithfulness only by hours. Measure whether the people you love consistently experience attention, safety, truth, affection, and follow through. The family question. Before accepting a major opportunity, ask, what will this require from me? What will it require from my household? Have I counted their cost, not only mine? What protection or support would make the season workable? When will we review whether the agreement remains healthy? The elite Christian performer does not succeed alone and send everyone else the invoice. Chapter 13, Money, Power, and Freedom. Money is a tool with spiritual gravity. It can provide, protect, create, employ, give, invest, and expand options. It can also become a scoreboard that quietly decides whether you feel secure or significant. Christian ambition does not require pretending that money is unimportant. Financial disorder can limit service and increase fear. Building assets, ownership, and income can be wise stewardship. The question is what kind of person the pursuit is producing and what purpose the money serves. Use four money assignments. Provide. Meet legitimate obligations, care for the household, plan for foreseeable needs, and tell the truth about spending and debt. Protect. Build margin so every disruption does not become a crisis. Insurance, emergency reserves, wise legal structure, and prudent diversification can be forms of responsibility. Produce. Invest in skills, assets, systems, and ownership that create durable value. Income from labor is useful. Ownership can create freedom and multiplication when built ethically. Pour out. Practice generosity before wealth arrives. Giving breaks money's claim to ultimate control and trains the heart to see resources as entrusted rather than possessed absolutely. Freedom is not merely the ability to stop working. It is the capacity to say yes to what matters and no to what violates your calling without being controlled by fear, appetite, debt, or status. A large financial target can remain a meaningful economic aim. It must not become the name of your worth or the price at which every other commitment is sold. Give the number a purpose, a strategy, a time horizon, and an ethical boundary. Then hold it with an open hand. Pause point. Define enough and assignment. What does financial enough mean for security and contentment? What larger amount am I attempting to steward or build? What human good would that amount make possible? Which methods of obtaining it are forbidden, even if legal or common? How will generosity grow before lifestyle expands? Chapter 14. Sabbath is a command, not a luxury. Sabbath confronts the performer's deepest illusion. If I stop, everything depends on what I failed to do. Stopping does not deny responsibility, it denies sovereignty. Jesus worked intensely and also withdrew. He did not respond to every crowd, heal every person in the region, or accept every invitation. His Father's will, not the availability of need, governed his movement. Sabbath trains the ability to leave work unfinished without allowing unfinished work to own the soul. It creates space for worship, delight, relationships, reflection, and the recovery required for sustained excellence. The ambitious person may find stopping harder than starting. That is precisely why stopping must be trained. A protected Saturday Sabbath can be one of the strongest boundaries in an ambitious life. Protect it from becoming an overflow bin for everything the week failed to contain. Sabbath does not need to feel spectacular. The practice can include worship, scripture, family, a slow meal, time outdoors, music without monetization, rest, gratitude, and activities that restore rather than demand performance. Avoid turning Sabbath into another optimization project. Its value is not measured by how efficiently you rested. The stopping ritual. Before Sabbath begins, capture unfinished tasks so the mind does not need to rehearse them. Identify the first work action after Sabbath. Name what was completed and give thanks. Admit what remains outside your control. Close the workspace physically and digitally. The restart ritual. When the work week resumes, reorient to God before opening communication. Review the seasonal assignment. Choose the first meaningful repetition. Begin before consuming large amounts of information. Sabbath is not the enemy of elite performance. It is one of the practices that prevents performance from becoming a god. If God orders rest and your ambition refuses, the ambition has exposed a rival chain of command. A season of rest. There are times when one Sabbath day is insufficient because the assignment of the season itself is restoration. Chronic depletion, grief, illness, trauma, relational damage, spiritual dryness, or the aftermath of prolonged responsibility may require a defined season in which recovery becomes the primary mission. Do not drift through such a season. Write the mission. For the next weeks, I will rebuild through, while maintaining, and refusing. Name the practices. Protect the appointments. Remove unnecessary load. Seek qualified care when appropriate. Review progress without demanding instant productivity. Ask what God is forming in hiddenness. Rest is not always preparation for more work. Sometimes rest is the present act of faithfulness. Its worth does not depend on how efficiently it returns you to production. Chapter 15, Failure, Repentance, and the Return. You will miss days. You will waste time. You will occasionally confuse preparation with avoidance. You may become irritable, chase applause, neglect a commitment, hide a weak result, or discover that the assignment was poorly chosen. The question is not whether failure enters the program. The question is what failure is allowed to become. Shame says hide until you feel worthy to restart. Pride says explain why the standard did not apply. Perfectionism says the broken streak makes the entire attempt meaningless. Grace tells the truth and returns. Use the return protocol. R. Recognize reality. State what happened without euphemism or exaggeration. Separate observable facts from the story you are telling about them. E. Expose and confess. Bring sin, compromise, fear, or avoidance into the light before God, and when appropriate, a trusted person. Secrecy gives failure additional power. T. Take responsibility. Own your contribution without taking responsibility for factors you could not control. Responsibility creates agency. You, use the smallest next obedience. Do not wait to feel transformed. Complete the smallest action that restores direction. Apologize. Open the document. Take the walk. Cancel the temptation. Tell the truth or reschedule the block. R. Repair what was harmed. Repentance has relational and practical consequences. Replace what was taken. Correct the false claim. Keep the promise. Ask what repair would look like to the person affected. N. Next repetition. Return to training quickly. Do not make the failure the center of the next week. The lesson should remain. The paralysis should not. The 24-hour rule. Whenever reasonably possible, do not allow one missed practice to become two. The next repetition may be smaller, but it should reestablish identity and direction. Consistency is not never falling. It is becoming highly trained at returning. Chapter 16, The Idolatry Alarm System. Ambition rarely announces that it has become worship. It changes function gradually. A useful goal begins to promise identity, security, vindication, or salvation. Watch for these alarms. A poor result causes an identity collapse rather than disappointment. You routinely rationalize dishonesty because the mission is important. People closest to you are treated mainly as support staff or obstacles. Prayer becomes only a request for God to endorse your outcome. You cannot stop working without panic, guilt, or secret resentment. Another person's success feels like evidence that your life is failing. You hide the real cost of the mission from people who share that cost. You repeatedly sacrifice sleep, health, worship, or covenant for low-value activity. You would rather protect the image of progress than tell the truth. You become unwilling to release the goal under any circumstance. One alarm is a signal for attention. A cluster is a call for intervention. The reset. Stop long enough to name what the goal has been promising. Confess the misplaced demand to God. Tell one trusted person the unedited truth. Restore the most important violated boundary. Reduce the mission to its legitimate assignment. Resume only when the goal has returned to the position of servant. You do not prove freedom by having no desires. You prove freedom by being able to desire deeply without surrendering lordship to the desire. Part 3. The 12-Week Consume Program. Program Overview. 12 Weeks Under Orders. The 12-Week Program installs the philosophy through action. Each week has one mission, one primary objective, daily orders, a no-excuse move, and an after-action review. The program is demanding, but it is not designed to fill every second with production. It is designed to place every second under command. There is a difference. A governed life knows what the moment is for. Work time becomes focused. Presence becomes undivided. Sabbath becomes protected. Training becomes deliberate. Recovery becomes obedient. Opportunity is judged rather than automatically obeyed. The four phases. Phase 1. Consecration. Weeks 1 through 3. Expose rival masters. Establish identity and restore chain of command. Phase 2. Conditioning. Weeks 4 through 6. Establish the battle rhythm. Accept the mission of the season and remove preventable weakness. Phase 3. Execution. Weeks 7 through 10, train the limiting skill, ship under pressure, defend integrity, and turn capacity outward in service. Phase 4, endurance. Weeks 11 and 12, obey the recovery order, review the campaign, and receive the next assignment without carrying the last season's ego forward. Rules of engagement. God is the mission. The seasonal assignment is subordinate. Obedience outranks output. Truth outranks image. Covenant outranks opportunity. Preparation precedes pressure. One primary assignment receives expansion energy. Rest is obeyed when rest is ordered. Failure triggers confession, correction, and return, not disappearance. Pain is not automatically danger, and danger is not automatically weakness. Learn the difference. Success never receives promotion to lordship. The daily battle rhythm. Every weekday reports 6 markers. Orientation. Did I give God my first deliberate attention? Orders. Did scripture and prayer produce one governing truth and one concrete obedience? Readiness. Did I train or recover according to the plan rather than according to impulse? Mission. Did I complete the day's highest value faithful repetition? Service. Did my strength move outward in love, truth, presence, or contribution? Debrief. Did I tell the truth, confess quickly, record the lesson, and prepare the return? Score the practice, not your worth. A low score is intelligence. Use it to locate the breach, change the environment, request reinforcement, reduce an unrealistic load, or confront avoidance. Do not improve a low score by lying. The no-excuse move. Every week contains one action you have been tempted to avoid because it threatens comfort, control, or image. You will name it, schedule it, execute it, and review it. If evidence shows the action would violate wisdom, covenant, health, or integrity, you will not force it. You will replace it with the hard, obedient action. Sometimes that action is stopping. The ambition profile. Before week one, score each statement from 1 to 5. 1 means rarely true. 5 means consistently true. Ashamed ambition. I reduce meaningful goals because wanting them strongly feels unspiritual. I confuse humility with hiding my ability. I feel guilty when I outperform people I respect. Passive ambition. I wait for total certainty before taking a responsible risk. I use prayer, planning, or learning to delay visible action. I expect clarity to arrive before movement rather than through movement. Fragmented ambition. I maintain several expansion goals and finish few of them. New opportunities repeatedly displace prior commitments. My calendar contains activity, but little protected concentration. Idolized ambition. A setback feels like evidence that my life has less value. I am tempted to violate boundaries when the result is threatened. I cannot imagine releasing the goal without losing myself. Total each group. Your highest score identifies the distortion most likely to sabotage the program. Repeat the profile in week 12. The goal is not to become less ambitious. It is to move ambition toward consecration. The push and release baseline. Before beginning, choose 1 ordinary working day. Record whether you made a genuine push and whether you practiced a genuine release. Many people discover they do neither. They remain busy without confronting the important work and remain mentally consumed without intentionally surrendering control. This baseline gives the program something real to transform. Use the same 6 daily markers throughout the program. Orient. I turn toward God through scripture and honest prayer. Train. I stewarded my body according to today's plan and capacity. Push. I completed the day's most important, courageous mission repetition. Love. I practiced deliberate presence or service towards someone entrusted to me. Release. I surrendered control, honored a boundary, or refused an idolatrous demand. Review. I told the truth about the day and prepared the next faithful move. Give yourself 1 point for each completed marker. The score measures practice, not God's approval. A score of 25 out of 30 possible weekday points is strong. Sabbath is not a day to chase points. Use it for worship, delight, relationship, and rest. If you score poorly, do not compensate with a punishing sprint. Use return, adjust the environment, and re-enter the program. Week 1. The throne audit. Mission. Identify what currently functions as your practical God and establish a truthful baseline. You cannot reorder a life you refuse to examine. This week is not about becoming impressive. It is about noticing what already commands your attention, fear, sacrifice, imagination, and obedience. Study your actual behavior. When you wake, what receives your first attention? When you feel threatened, what outcome seems capable of saving you? When you succeed, whose approval do you immediately seek? What loss would make you question your value? What do you protect even when protecting it harms people? Your calendar, screen time, transactions, recurring thoughts, and emotional reactions reveal functional devotion more accurately than stated beliefs. Objective. Write a 1-page throne audit containing the 3 outcomes you currently desire most, what each outcome promises emotionally, what you have already sacrificed for each, what you refuse to sacrifice, the goal most likely to become a master, 1 concrete act of surrender. An act of surrender does not necessarily mean quitting. It may mean telling the truth, changing a deadline, restoring Sabbath, discussing the real cost with your spouse, giving money, removing a secret metric, or accepting that the outcome is not guaranteed. Daily orders. Read one of these passages each day. Matthew 6:19-34, Mark 8:34-38, Mark 12:28-34, Luke 12:13-34, John 15:1-17, Philippians 3:7-16, and 1 Timothy 6:6-19. After reading, write one sentence. Today I am tempted to make ultimate. Faithfulness looks like push, release order. Push. Complete the throne audit without softening the answer that embarrasses you. Release. Spend one day without checking the metric most connected to your identity and observe what surfaces. No excuse move. Tell one trusted person which ambition has the strongest claim on your identity. Do not explain it into innocence. Ask that person to notice changes in your character, not only your output. After action review. What did I learn from my calendar and attention? What outcome creates disproportionate fear? Where did I feel resistance to surrender? What boundary must enter week two? Week two, identity before achievement. Mission. Separate your God-given identity from your current level of performance. This week trains you to evaluate without condemning and to work without using the work to manufacture worth. You will still measure. You will still confront laziness and inconsistency, but you will refuse to convert a result into a name. Objective. Write two lists. The first is titled, What is True Before I Perform? Include truths grounded in grace. You are created by God, accountable to God, loved in Christ, capable of repentance, part of a people, and entrusted with meaningful work. The second is titled, What My Performance Can Reveal. Include facts such as preparation quality, skill gaps, discipline, strategy, timing, communication, courage, and fit. Never move an item from the second list into the first. A failed launch may reveal poor preparation. It cannot prove that you are worthless. A successful video may reveal resonant work. It cannot prove that you are more valuable than another person. Daily orders. Before the day's primary work block, say, I do not need this session to prove that I matter. I am free to tell the truth, attempt difficult work, receive feedback, and improve. After the session, use the identity and evaluation practice from Chapter 4. Push, release order. Push. Attempt work difficult enough to reveal your current edge. Release. Receive the result as information rather than a verdict on your value. No excuse, move. Request specific feedback on one piece of work you normally protect from criticism. Ask, what is one thing that would make this more useful, clear, skillful, or honest? Do not defend yourself during the answer. After action review. Which results still feel like verdicts on me? Did grace make me passive or more courageous? Where did I become defensive? What criticism contains a useful lesson? Week 3. Put the life in order. Mission. Define your non-negotiables, covenant responsibilities, seasonal assignment, and not now list. The purpose is not to create a perfect hierarchy on paper. It is to make trade-offs visible before pressure makes them for you. Objective. Create your four-level order of life. Under lordship, list convictions success cannot purchase from you. Under covenant responsibilities, list the people, health needs, work duties, debts, and promises that already possess a legitimate claim. Under seasonal assignment, write the one mission that will receive expansion energy. Under optional opportunities, list goals and invitations you will deliberately defer. For each covenant responsibility, define a minimum observable practice. Family matters is not observable. Devices away from 6 to 7 on weeknights is. Health matters is not observable. Train according to plan 5 mornings and protect the sleep window is. Daily orders. Each morning, review the four levels for 2 minutes. Each evening ask, Did my calendar tell the truth about my order? Push, release order. Push. Protect one covenant responsibility before optional demands can consume its place. Release. Accept that choosing an ordered life means allowing some good opportunities to pass. No excuse move. Say no, not now, or not in this form to one opportunity that conflicts with the order. The goal is to practice the emotional skill of disappointing a possibility so you can remain faithful to an assignment. After action review. Where did an optional request outrank a covenant responsibility? Which boundary felt most life-giving? Which commitment is vague and needs a time or behavior? What conversation must happen with my household or team? Week 4. Establish the battle rhythm. Mission. Turn your stated order into daily and weekly rhythms. Ideals do not protect themselves. Put important practices on the calendar before discretionary work fills the space. Objective. Create a one-page weekly rule containing your usual sleep and wake window, your morning orientation practice, plan training and recovery, work obligations and commute, family and marriage presence blocks, deep work blocks for the seasonal assignment, gathered worship and Christian community, Sabbath boundaries, weekly review time, a minimum viable day. A realistic rule treats God as the operating center rather than another competing calendar block. Spiritual formation, physical training, professional work, family presence, focused mission blocks, and Sabbath each receive clear rhythms. The exact times may change. The order should remain visible. Daily orders. Run the standard day rhythm for 5 days. Do not improve it midweek unless something is clearly harmful. Capture friction and adjust during the review. Push, release order. Push. Begin each protected block at the scheduled time, even when emotion has not caught up. Release. Leave one margin block intentionally unfilled instead of converting every open space into production. No excuse move. Prepare the environment for the two practices you avoid most. Lay out what is needed. Remove digital friction, and define the first action in advance. After action review. Which rhythm fit reality? Which rhythm depended on fantasy energy? What repeated friction should be designed out? Is the rule demanding enough to create growth and humane enough to repeat? Week 5. Accept the one assignment. Mission. Choose the single expansion mission for the remainder of the program. You have many values, but you need one assignment with a finish line. The next 7 weeks will test your ability to concentrate discretionary energy without neglecting the order established in weeks 3 and 4. Objective. Write a mission brief containing the 12-week mission sentence, the person or group it serves, the finish line, the weekly lead measures, the final outcome measures, the protected boundaries, the main risks, the not now list. Lead measures track actions under your control. Outcome measures track the result you hope those actions produce. For a content system, lead measures may include scripts completed, substantial videos published, short pieces repurposed, audience conversations, and analytics reviews. Outcome measures may include watch time, returning viewers, subscribers, email signups, or revenue. Do not punish yourself for an outcome measure as if it were fully controllable. Daily orders. Before checking messages, analytics, or general media, identify the day's lead measure. Complete it during the protected block whenever your schedule permits. Push, release order. Push. Make measurable progress on the one assignment before feeding secondary goals. Release. Move one attractive project to the not now list and remove its reminders from the active workspace. No excuse move. Delete, delegate, pause, or reduce one active project that competes with the assignment. A not now list that changes nothing is only decorative. After action review. Can I explain the assignment in one sentence? Did I measure actions and outcomes separately? What did I remove to make room? What will count as done, even if I later improve it? Week 6. Build readiness and remove friction. Mission. Increase the physical, emotional, environmental, and logistical capacity required by the mission. This week is not primarily about doing more. It is about reducing the waste that makes meaningful work unnecessarily expensive. Objective. Complete 4 audits. The energy audit identifies when you focus best, what repeatedly drains you, and whether sleep supports the plan. The environment audit identifies physical and digital friction. The skill audit identifies the one missing capability most likely to limit the assignment. The support audit identifies what should be delegated, automated, requested, or discussed. Choose one correction from each audit and install it this week. Daily orders. Track energy at 3 points: morning, midday, and evening. Use a simple green, yellow, or red rating. Also record the activity that immediately preceded a major rise or drop. Push, release order. Push, remove the largest preventable friction and request the support the mission genuinely needs. Release, adjust the load when evidence shows yellow or red capacity instead of using shame to force the original plan. No excuse move. Ask for one form of support you have been silently expecting others to notice. Be specific about the request, the period, and what you are offering in return. After action review. What is the mission costing because of preventable friction? Which activity looks productive but drains capacity without meaningful return? What support improved performance? Am I in a green, yellow, or red zone? Week 7. Deliberate practice. Mission. Stop merely spending time and begin correcting the specific skill that limits performance. Choose one narrow skill connected to the seasonal assignment. For music performance, it might be transitions, timing, sound selection, arrangement, or recovering from mistakes. For content, it might be hooks, structure, on-camera clarity, pacing, editing, or offers. For leadership, it might be delegation, feedback, meeting design, or decision communication. Objective. Design a deliberate practice block with a single target skill, a difficulty just beyond comfort, a measurable attempt, immediate feedback, one correction per round, a short practice log. Complete at least 4 focus sessions this week. Daily orders. Begin the session by naming the correction from the previous attempt. End it by recording one lesson and the first move for the next session. Push, release order. Push, practice at the edge of current ability where mistakes become visible. Release, accept accurate evidence about your present skill without exaggerating or defending it. If you use a multi-domain daily challenge, several practices can remain small consistency containers, but only one should receive deliberate expansion in a given season. The others can remain in maintenance. Limitation breeds creativity when it forces decisions rather than excuses shallow attention. No excuse move. Record or observe yourself performing the skill under realistic conditions. Review the evidence without skipping the uncomfortable parts. After action review, what exact error repeated? Which correction created the largest improvement? Did I spend more time attempting or consuming information? What should the next 4 practice sessions target? Week 8, courageous execution. Mission, move from protected preparation into visible action. Many talented people remain permanently almost ready. They refine private work because public reality can disagree with their self-image. Courageous execution means allowing the market, audience, team, stage, or customer to answer. Objective: ship one meaningful version of the work this week. Publish the video, perform the set, present the proposal, make the offer, request the meeting, release the pilot, complete the application. The action should create real feedback. Daily orders. Use a shipping countdown. Day 1, define done. Day 2, complete the rough version. Day 3, correct the highest risk weakness. Day 4, test and prepare. Day 5, ship. Adjust the days to your calendar, but do not let standards expand after the work becomes emotionally risky. Push, release order. Push. Ship the defined version into a setting where real people can respond. Release. Establish a period after release when you will not compulsively check reactions or rewrite your identity around early numbers. No excuse move. Choose one action with asymmetric upside that is ethical, aligned, and recoverable if it fails. Commit before certainty arrives. After action review. What did reality teach me that preparation could not? Where did fear disguise itself as quality control? Did I keep the boundary between excellence and perfectionism? What is the next version? Week 9, integrity under pressure. Mission. Predecide how you will behave when truth becomes expensive. Character is easier to admire in theory than to practice when a deadline, sponsor, supervisor, audience, or financial opportunity creates pressure. This week turns values into operating standards. Objective. Write an integrity code with at least 7 statements. Include standards for accuracy, disclosure, promises, money, sexual conduct, treatment of collaborators, use of influence, and conflicts between employment and personal projects. Examples include, I will distinguish what I know from what I infer. I will correct material errors rather than protect my image. I will not praise a product dishonestly because money is attached. I will not use private access, employer resources, or relationships deceptively. I will not make my family absorb commitments I hid from them. I will give credit and keep agreements. I will walk away when the opportunity requires disobedience. Daily orders. Before a consequential action, ask, would I be comfortable if the full method, cost, and motive became known to the people I respect? This question is not perfect, but it exposes rationalization. Push, release order. Push. Tell one truth whose delay has been protecting comfort or image. Release. Surrender any advantage that can only be kept through concealment, exploitation, or compromise. No excuse move. Correct one small area of misalignment you have been tempted to dismiss. Small compromises train the person who will face larger ones. After action review. Where did pressure expose my values? What did truth cost? What did truth protect? Which standard needs a practical safeguard? Week 10, family, service, and contribution. Mission. Ensure the mission creates value without turning people into fuel. This week shifts attention from personal achievement to human impact. Ask not only whether the mission is growing, but whether the people connected to it are being served well. Objective. Create a contribution map with 3 groups. The household. How will the season produce presence, provision, growth, or shared meaning rather than only absence? The audience, customer, or organization. What real problem will the work solve? The people behind you. What knowledge, opportunity, example, or system can you pass on? Choose one measurable act for each group. Daily orders. Complete one invisible act of service without turning it into content or seeking recognition. This retrains ambition to notice value that cannot be publicly scored. Push, release order. Push. Use developed skill to solve a concrete problem for someone beyond yourself. Release. Perform one meaningful act of service that nobody can convert into applause, status, or analytics. No excuse move. Ask your spouse, child, teammate, or trusted collaborator, What has this season been like for you? And what do you need more or less of from me? Listen without cross-examination. After action review. Who became stronger because of my work? Who paid a cost I had not counted? Where did I practice presence? What repair or adjustment is required? Week 11. Obey the recovery order. Mission. Prove that stopping can be obedience rather than abandonment. By week 11, accumulated fatigue and urgency may tempt you to borrow from rest. Instead, practice the confidence required to recover. Objective. Complete one protected Sabbath with a clear stopping and restart ritual. Remove work communication and production from the period. Choose worship, family, delight, quiet, and restorative activity. Also create a recovery plan for the next 90-day cycle. Include sleep, training deloads, medical or therapeutic support when appropriate, unstructured recreation, and transition time after high-output periods. Then determine whether recovery should remain a supporting practice or become the primary assignment of the next season. If health, grief, trauma, spiritual depletion, or relational damage requires concentrated restoration, write a recovery mission with clear practices, boundaries, support, and a review date. Do not choose another expansion target merely because rest threatens your identity as a performer. Daily orders. End deep work while you still know the first move for tomorrow. This reduces restart friction and teaches you to stop intentionally rather than collapse. Push. Release order. Push. Complete the truly essential work before the stopping ritual begins. Release. Enter Sabbath with at least one non-essential task unfinished and refuse to rehearse it mentally. No excuse, move. Obey the most difficult recovery order revealed by the evidence. That may mean leaving work unfinished, scheduling care, asking for leave, reducing a target, sleeping, grieving, disclosing depletion, or telling someone the present pace cannot continue. Observe what the order threatens in your identity. After action review. What fear surfaced when I stopped? Did rest restore love and attention, or did I only consume stimulation? What is genuine recovery for me? Which workload pattern cannot be sustained into the next cycle? Is the next mission an advance, maintenance, repair, waiting, or rest assignment? Week 12. After action review and commission. Mission. Review the transformation, close the season, and choose the next faithful cycle. Do not rush directly into another goal. Completion includes interpretation. You need to know what changed, what did not, and what the process revealed about your motives, capacity, relationships, craft, and faith. Objective. Complete a full cycle review. Alignment. How did my understanding of being consumed by God change? Where did I become more honest? Which ambition still competes for lordship? Character. Where did pressure expose integrity or compromise? What did I repair? What virtue requires deliberate training next? Capacity. What happened to energy, health, anxiety, and recovery? Which rhythm increased stability? What warning signs must be respected? Craft. What skill measurably improved? What did I finish or ship? What feedback should shape the next cycle? Contribution. Who received value? How did my household experience the season? What can now be taught, shared, or multiplied? Consistency. How often did I complete the 6 daily markers? How quickly did I return after disruption? Which system survived low motivation? Then decide whether the current assignment should continue, graduate into maintenance, be redesigned, or be released. The next cycle may be an advanced mission or a restoration mission. Do not judge faithfulness by visibility. Daily orders. Spend the week reviewing one dimension per day. Keep ordinary responsibilities and minimum practices, but reduce expansion work enough to think clearly. Push, release order. Push, Make a clear decision about what the next cycle will require. Release. Celebrate and close the current season before using a new target to avoid reflection, grief, gratitude, or rest. No excuse. Move. Share the unedited lessons with the people who supported the season. Celebrate their contribution. Own the cost. Explain the proposed next cycle and invite honest response. Final, after-action review. What am I proud of for the right reasons? What do I need to confess or repair? What will I carry forward? What will I stop? What is the next faithful assignment? Part 4, The Long-Term Elite Christian Life. Chapter 17, The 90-Day Rhythm. 12 weeks is long enough to create evidence and short enough to maintain urgency. Repeating the cycle turns the program into a life system. Use 4 seasons inside every 90-day cycle. Consecrate. Revisit identity, motives, responsibilities, and the throne. Choose the assignment with open hands. Concentrate. Protect the most important repetitions. Reduce optional noise. Train the limiting skill. Contribute. Ship work. Serve people. Receive feedback. And create real value. Complete. Close loops. Review honestly. Repair costs. Celebrate growth. Rest. And decide what comes next. Do not stack advanced cycles without recovery. A year might include 2 demanding build cycles, 1 consolidation cycle, and 1 restoration cycle. Another year may require more hidden training, caregiving, healing, or waiting. The exact pattern can change. The principle is that every season should have an assignment, every peak should have an end, and every recovery order should be honored without apology. Doors and windows. At the beginning of each cycle, identify doors and windows. A door is an opportunity that will likely remain available or can be revisited. A window is time sensitive. Windows may deserve temporary intensity, but urgency must still pass through the order of life. Ask, what evidence says this is truly time sensitive? What is the cost of acting now? What is the cost of waiting? Which responsibility would carry the cost? Can the window be pursued through a defined push season? What would make the opportunity unworthy of pursuit? This protects you from calling every exciting possibility a divine emergency. Chapter 18, The Rule of Holy Ambition. The program can be summarized in 12 rules of engagement. God gets the throne. Success gets an assignment. Obedience outranks visibility, speed, comfort, and output. Grace establishes identity and removes every alibi for hiding. I will not use faith as permission to remain undeveloped. I will not use ambition as permission to become disobedient. I will receive 1 primary seasonal mission: advance, maintenance, repair, waiting, or rest, and give it disciplined attention. I will translate conviction into calendar commitments and observable practices. I will train through deliberate repetitions, feedback, correction, and completion. I will prepare deeply and execute before perfectionism turns care into hiding. I will steward body, attention, money, influence, relationships, Sabbath, and recovery as resources under command. I will use failure as a signal to return, repent, repair, reinforce, and repeat. I will measure outcomes honestly, measure faithfulness more deeply, and leave final authority with God. Read these commitments at the start of each 12-week cycle. Revise applications when the season changes, but do not quietly remove the boundaries when pressure rises. Conclusion: fierce and free. You began with a serious question. Can a Christian give the obsession-level dedication required to win? The answer is yes, but the target of obsession and the definition of winning must be redeemed. You can become unusually focused. You can organize a season around 1 mission. You can train before others wake, study while others scroll, prepare beyond expectations, publish when fear wants another delay, and repeat the work thousands of times. You can build wealth, mastery, influence, systems, art, businesses, and institutions. You can enter rooms where excellence is normal and raise your standards. Christianity does not require you to become less capable. It requires you to become unavailable to lesser masters. It requires your capacity to remain under Christ. That means you will sometimes refuse an advantage. You will tell the truth when a lie would move faster. You will be present when work would prefer another hour. You will execute when comfort requests delay. You will receive rest when God orders recovery. You will repent when ambition deforms love. You will let results instruct you without letting them name you. The world knows performers who are fierce because they are terrified of becoming insignificant. The gospel can form a performer who is fierce because significance no longer needs to be earned. That person can take bigger, honest risks. That person can receive correction. That person can celebrate another person's success. That person can survive a failed launch. That person can build without worshiping the building. That person can stop without disappearing. Fierce and free. This is the paradox of the elite Christian performer. The strongest ambition is carried by surrender. The deepest work grows from grace. The disciplined life includes commanded rest. The seasonal mission matters enormously, but it is not Lord. Hustle culture says your value rises with output. This system says your entire value and identity are received before output. Hustle culture says motion is always progress. This system says obedience may require advance, waiting, withdrawal, repair, or rest. Hustle culture says sacrifice whatever the goal demands. This system establishes rules of engagement the goal may never violate. Hustle culture makes achievement the consuming center. This system makes God the consuming center and trains achievement to serve. You do not need to choose between devotion and excellence. Become consumed with God. Bring the whole life under His authority. Then take whatever has truly been entrusted to you and steward it with everything you have. And when the season changes, when the result disappoints, when the door closes, or when obedience requires release, keep the one thing achievement could never give and failure can never take. You still belong to God. Appendix A, the Daily Liturgies. Morning orientation, 10 to 20 minutes. Be still. Take several slow breaths. Become physically present. You are not trying to force a feeling. Read. Read a manageable passage of Scripture attentively. Ask what it reveals about God, people, wisdom, obedience, promise, or warning. Tell the truth. Name your emotional state without dramatizing or hiding it. Grateful, anxious, angry, numb, hopeful, tired, distracted, or uncertain. Surrender. Offer the day's body, relationships, responsibilities, ambition, and outcome to God. Define. Write one sentence. The most faithful, important move today is pre-performance prayer, 1 minute. God, free me from needing this moment to prove my worth. Help me tell the truth. Use the skill I have trained. Serve the people in front of me and receive the result with humility. Give me courage to act and wisdom to adjust. Evening examine, 5 to 10 minutes. Where did I notice grace, joy, help, beauty, or growth? Where was I anxious, tempted, avoidant, harsh, dishonest, or self-protective? What did I complete? What needs confession or repair? What is tomorrow's first faithful move? What must I release tonight? Minimum viable day. On disrupted days, 5 minutes of Scripture, 1 honest prayer, 10 minutes of appropriate movement, 15 minutes of the key mission repetition, 1 deliberate act of presence or service, 2 minutes of review. Appendix B, the weekly review. Set aside 30 to 60 minutes outside Sabbath if detailed analysis interferes with rest. 1. Reorient. Begin with gratitude and a short prayer for honesty. Review the mission sentence in order of life. 2. Review the evidence. Calendar. Where did time actually go? 5 markers. How consistent were orientation, training, execution, love, and review? Lead measures. What controllable repetitions were completed? Outcome measures. What changed in the result? Energy. Which days were green, yellow, or red? Relationships. Where was I present, absent, or in need of repair? Integrity. Did I hide, exaggerate, manipulate, or rationalize? 3. Interpret. What worked and why? What failed and why? What am I learning about God, myself, the assignment, and the people I serve? What should be repeated, corrected, delegated, deleted, or delayed? 4. Repair. List every apology, correction, promise, payment, conversation, or rescheduling action needed. Place each on the calendar. 5. Prepare. Choose next week's 3 most important outcomes. Schedule the primary deep work blocks. Protect family, health, worship, and Sabbath commitments. Prepare the environment. Define Monday's first move. Appendix C, the faithfulness scorecard. Use 1 point for each weekday marker completed. Do not use the score to rank spiritual worth. Daily markers. Orient, scripture and honest prayer. Train, body stewardship according to plan and capacity. Push, primary courageous mission repetition. Love, intentional presence or service. Release, surrender of control, outcome, or an illegitimate cost. Review, truth, gratitude, repair, and next move. Weekly interpretation. 25 to 30 points, strong consistency, protect humility and recovery. 18 to 24 points, useful base, identify the repeated friction. 10 to 17 points, the system is not fitting reality, simplify and rebuild. 0 to 9 points, stop adding pressure. Assess health, crisis, overload, and support needs before intensifying. The number is a diagnostic, not a sentence. Appendix D, the assignment discernment guide. Score each proposed assignment from 1 to 5. Biblical alignment. Can the mission and its methods remain inside clear Christian convictions? Responsibility. Does the mission honor existing covenants and obligations? Service. Will success create meaningful value for people? Gift fit. Does it use or intentionally develop real capacities? Window. Is there credible time sensitivity? Leverage. Will progress make other important work easier or more valuable? Sustainability. Can the mission be carried for 12 weeks with defined boundaries and support? Counsel. What do wise people who know your character, household, and field see that you may not? Do not obey the total score mechanically. Investigate any category scored 1 or 2. A high opportunity mission with a severe integrity or covenant conflict is not rescued by points elsewhere. Appendix E, the idolatry and integrity check. Ask monthly, if this goal failed, would I still know who I am? Am I becoming more loving and truthful while pursuing it? Can the people closest to me name the real cost? Have I hidden anything to protect the mission's image? Can I stop for Sabbath without resentment? Am I asking God to lead me or merely endorse me? Do I celebrate others or experience their success as a threat? Is money a tool with an assignment or the score of my worth? What would I refuse even if it guaranteed the outcome? Could I release this mission if obedience and wisdom required it? Appendix F, a 12-week scripture path. Use these passages as anchors. Read surrounding context rather than isolated lines. Week 1. Lordship. Matthew 6, Mark 8, Mark 12. Week 2. Grace and Identity. Ephesians 1-2, Romans 8, Colossians 3. Week 3. Wisdom and Order. Proverbs 3-4, Ephesians 5, James 1. Week 4. Rhythms and Abiding. John 15, Psalm 1, Luke 5. Week 5. Calling and Stewardship. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Matthew 25. Week 6. Capacity and Care. 1 Kings 19, Psalm 23, 1 Timothy 4. Week 7. Discipline and Skill. Proverbs 22, 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Timothy 2. Week 8. Courage and Action. Joshua 1, Nehemiah 2, James 2. Week 9. Integrity. Psalm 15, Proverbs 10-11, Daniel 1 and 6. Week 10. Love and Service. John 13, 1 Corinthians 13, Philippians 2. Week 11. Sabbath and Trust. Genesis 2, Exodus 20, Mark 2, Hebrews 4. Week 12. Endurance and Completion. Philippians 3-4, Hebrews 12, 2 Timothy 4. Appendix G. The Ambition Covenant. Read this covenant aloud at the beginning and end of each 12-week cycle. I belong to God before I achieve anything. I will not hide my gifts to appear humble, and I will not worship my gifts to feel significant. I will name what I want honestly, test it wisely, and pursue it courageously when it becomes a legitimate assignment. I will prepare deeply, practice deliberately, finish meaningful work, measure real outcomes, and receive correction. I will maintain many responsibilities but expand one primary mission at a time. I will establish the costs my ambition is not authorized to impose. Integrity, covenant, human dignity, necessary care, and obedience are not currencies I may spend for success. I will make one courageous push and one honest release as a normal pattern of life. I will obey the mission of the season. If I am ordered to advance, I will not hide. If I am ordered to rest, heal, wait, or repair, I will not let ego manufacture unauthorized work. I will not call passivity surrender. I will not call idolatry dedication. I will not call perfectionism excellence. I will not call self-destruction sacrifice. I will let outcomes teach me without allowing them to name me. I will repent quickly, repair what I damage, receive grace, and return to the next faithful repetition. I will build with intensity, serve with love, stop with trust, and hold every result with an open hand. Success will be my servant. It will never be my Lord.